When we create a podcast, there are standard procedures to follow. Joke testing, focus groups, safety regulations. We can't just march into recording. But I say we go into the episode now, because we just watched Chairman of the Board, and it's Luau Wednesday on...
B-Movie Mania!
Welcome to the crossroads of camp, the bastion of the bizarre, the place where low budgets meet high praise. Yes, it's B-Movie Mania. And now, B-Movie Maniacs, here are your hosts, the cream of the crap, the connoisseurs of cult, your cinematic creepy uncles, Paul Brooks, Mike Hayes, Jason Hulls, and crazy Chris Hudson.
Welcome to the party, everyone. I am Jason Halls, and with me at Luau Wednesday here is crazy Chris Hudson.
Hey, Jay, instead of my usual greeting where I just make a subtly changed quote from the movie, can you just play that sexy saxophone music that plays when Raquel Welch shows up in Chairman of the Board?
Here you go.
Seeking funding for a church to build an orphanage. And when he heard our plan...
Awesome. Perfect.
Michael Hayes.
What's up, you needle-neck scabies perverts?
And, okay, so we all know that Chairman of the Board is Carrot Top's only starring role in a film. He's known for his wacky inventions, and I want to introduce you guys to a wacky invention. See, we don't have Paul Brooks with us here live, right? But there's this wacky invention called editing. And so what I'm going to do...
Holy shit.
I can tell your minds are blown. What we're going to do is we're going to run this episode different. Rather than recap this movie, because nobody needs that, right? No, we can all agree nobody needs
no.
that.
No, nobody needs that, no.
We're going to run this episode like a roundup. So we've got questions that we're going to answer about the movie.
Yay.
And what I'm going to do is through the wacky invention of editing, I'm going to edit in Paul's responses.
So weird.
We won't hear. Yeah. So weird. We won't hear Paul's responses, but the listeners at home listening to this right now will get to hear everything Paul has to say.
Love it.
I'm sure it's going to go great. So
are we going to re-record when the episode comes out? Are we going to re-record this episode so we can put in some witty banter with based on Paul's answers?
I think maybe we can just react and we'll just assume Paul's being hilarious. Paul, how are you doing tonight?
Good evening.
Oh, that Paul Brooks.
What a pervert.
I don't even know if he's going to say hello or say any greeting when he records the answers to these questions. So that may have been complete silence and we don't know. Okay, so yes, folks. We watched Chairman of the Board starring Carrot Top. Lovely man, Scott Thompson. Facts about this movie real quick. It came out in 1997, directed by Alex Zamm. Did you guys know, or through your meticulous research of Chairman of the Board, did you discover the fact that Carrot Top is one of the world's richest comedians?
I had no idea. I did very little
did
research
know
on
that.
This.
You did know that, Mike?
I did know that.
Does that seem odd?
Yes.
Yeah, it does, but he's been doing Las Vegas for decades now.
Mm.
Yeah.
That explains it. You get a Vegas show and you're set.
Yeah. I think it's solely based on that.
I did a odd amount of research into to Carrot Top, not only as the performer, but as the man.
Mm.
And there's some interesting stuff. Yeah, he performs the Luxor, and I think it's got to be almost 20 years.
I think that's where, I just listened to I used to be a fan of The Amazing Jonathan way back.
Okay.
And I thought he just fell off the face of the earth, but he died recently, and I listened to the Marc Maron podcast with him, and he'd been performing in Vegas for like 30 years. Like, holy shit, and that's where he went into all this. He made millions of dollars doing a Vegas show, so I'm not surprised.
The closest guess I could get was Carrot Top is worth somewhere around $75 to $90 million.
Wow. Jesus.
Yeah.
And it could be more. Like, so, you know, he's kind of thought of as the comedian, or the comedy world's punching bag in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
but man, he's successful. Yeah.
I'd be a punching bag for $90 million.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Couple other things about this movie. Courtney Thorne Smith has never seen it. Oh.
Good on her.
So I guess she took Norm Macdonald's advice.
Yeah. Yeah. Chris, do you want to talk about that whole Norm Macdonald thing for anybody who might not know?
Yeah. So it was making the rounds when Norm Macdonald died a few months ago. And it's just, he was on Conan O'Brien, right? He was on the Conan show.
Yes. Yeah.
And
yeah.
Courtney Thorne Smith was on the show. And we should just link the clip. Because it's so funny. Yeah.
I'll probably drop a clip in here.
Yeah.
But what's the movie going to be called?
I know what it's going to be called.
Yeah, what's that?
If it's got Carrot Top in it, you know what a good name for it would be?
What's that, Norm?
Box Office Poison.
There's this movie coming out.
Yes.
Title undetermined at this point.
Chairman of the Board.
Oh, all right. Do something with that, you freak.
I bet the board is spelled B-O-R-E-D.
Oh, man. Such a good clip.
It more or less turned out to be true, mm-hmm. too. Mm-hmm. This was the first film of a three-picture deal he had with Trimark.
Whoops.
There's only one, though.
Yes, yeah. There's only one. It wasn't like Chairman of the Board 2 and Part 3, but the working titles for the other two canceled films were... The White House Broken,
what?
And Bachelor 2.
You know what it sounds like? Sounds like they both benefited from this deal.
Trimark and...
Trimark probably didn't lose as much money by not making these movies, and Carrot Top made a shitload more.
Yeah.
Was White House Broken like the Olympus Down movie
of its day? Yes, it was.
I really hope it is.
It's based on a novel, isn't it? What if this was Carrot Top was going to do this fucking thing? An action movie saving the president? Yeah.
I would get goosebumps if White House Down was starring Carrot Top.
It would have been if it was White House Broken.
Wait. Is it House Broken? Like White House Broken?
Oh yeah, he also plays a dog in it.
Like it's a dog and he's got
it's the Love on a Leash sequel.
Oh.
But the dog's gotta save the president of a nuclear attack in Washington.
Now, Chris, you were about to say something there.
Oh, is this the muscular Carrot Top that we all know and love today? Or is this the Carrot Top from the 90s?
Well, you know,
it could be the big guy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Did you guys do any research into Carrot Top's physique?
I did not.
I mean,
because
I
did.
It.
Oh,
I know
yeah.
about
let's
it.
Hear but... some, let's hear some top facts.
Well, you know, he I guess just started working out a lot because he started in Vegas and he didn't have a lot to do. So he'd hit the gym a lot and he kind of didn't want to be the skinny guy for a bit. So he just ended up getting jacked.
Didn't want to be the skinny guy for a bit.
Well, pro wrestling jacked. Like
so
he was
huge. Yeah.
And he, you know, he claims he never used steroids, never got any plastic surgery, nothing like that. He just worked out really hard and was very focused on it. But then a few years ago, he just quit cold turkey. Just said, you know what? I don't want to be this big. I feel like it's hurting my act. Because he said people would start coming up to him and rather than saying, hey, you know, you were really funny or whatever, they'd say, wow, you really work out. Mm. And so he was like, I felt like it was taking away from the persona of what I wanted to present.
See, that's not at all what I thought. I thought that he was tired of repairing all the props he broke because he didn't know his own strength.
Smashing through all the props.
Not again.
Well, that's why we have the old adage about, you know, Carrot Top strength. So,
yep. True. Mm-hmm. Okay, so guys, we got to do the synopsis for this movie.
Do we?
Okay? We have to do something. Ugh. Like, we're not going to go through this bit by bit, but I have a way that I think will get the viewer, clue the viewer in on what this movie's about in a way that Carrot Top would be proud of.
Okay.
So here's what I want you guys to do. Now, listener, when we record, everybody's wearing headphones, right? So we can all hear each other. Mm-hmm. But what I want you guys to do for about 20 seconds, just each of you take your headphones out And I want you to each separately say what the synopsis of this movie is with Carrot Top energy.
Oh,
it's going to be a mess. Energy? It's going to be a complete mess.
Okay.
So you guys can't hear each other. You're going to be talking over each other. Only I right now, when we are recording, are going to hear this mess of what's about to happen. And we'll just see. This could be a total disaster. But you know what? It's a disaster I believe Carrot Top would support. So go ahead right now. Take your headphones out and just remember Carrot Top energy. Go off. Ooh. Tell me what this whole movie's about.
All right.
Go.
Dear listener,
well, Carrot Top, he's a failed inventor. Surfer. He's trying to be good, but he's not even failed because he's never even done anything. All his inventions suck. They're terrible.
Brilliant mind,
like,
on the order of Einstein.
The whole thing, because
or Tesla.
Then he decides he's gonna go over to
Edison,
the guy that helped the guy out with the car, and the car
and
guy car dies,
and then garbage things,
and then the company guy, because the guy's died, and he gets all the things, and then he like, you know,
dying,
whatever it would be, he just kind of decides he's gonna
killing a soul, a single soul,
then the the son of the
anyway,
bad guy is like
dies,
real mad about it. And he's like, I'm gonna get you.
That makes some sort of blue type substance.
He's like,
to Carrot Top, grants him a controlling.
You messed up. You made a bad thing. Carrot Top's like,
oh, Larry
why
Miller
did you do that? And then the other guy's like, yes, he did.
And then
Carrot Top figures out because he's such a real smart guy.
Oh,
and then he's
I
like,
guess it's time to end.
I win. It's okay.
Okay. Yep, that was about what I thought it would be. So, listeners, I hope you got that. That's what chairman of the board is about. So thank you guys for that energetic delivery. Chris, I think you were using the energy of the guy running the reading of the will, but that's okay.
I thought that was Carrot Top.
Let's get into some questions here. We have 20 questions that we're going to blaze through about this movie. Okay, question number one. What coping mechanisms did you use to get through Chairman of the Board? Mike.
Weed. A lot of weed.
You found that helped?
Yeah, absolutely it did. Also finding out that my roommate loved this movie when he was a kid. That really helps me love it too.
Oh, that's awesome. That is awesome. Chris.
I've really cut down drinking, so I didn't have the alcohol like outlet that I usually have. So I just I just focused on Larry Miller. I used to be a big fan of him back in high school, and
okay.
Yeah, he was likable.
Okay, so yes, I also did not have the alcohol or the weed. I had M&M Easter egg candy, and about 40 minutes left in the movie, and I was like, how is this still going? Like,
it's not a short movie.
But it's not that long.
Yeah, but it's not short.
It's still 90 minutes.
It's a long 90. It starts to drag. It starts to feel like a slog, I feel like, toward the end. Would you agree?
Yes.
100%. Yeah.
Paul, what do you think?
I watched some porn on my phone for a little while. While the movie was on, that helped out a little bit, but not much.
Ah, jeez, Paul, you said that? Oh, God.
Listeners, keep in mind that we have no idea what Paul's actually saying, so we're just responding completely blind.
Yeah.
Question number two. Jim Carrey was originally supposed to star in this film, but turned it down. Would the movie have been better starring Jim Carrey? Chris?
I'm going to say yes, and here's why. So, Chairman of the Board was made around the time Jim Carrey made the transition to dramatic acting from comedy. And so I believe that Chairman of the Board would work way better as a drama, especially kind of a weird type drama, like, you know, Eternal Sunshine or Truman Show or something. So there's that. And I think that Jim Carrey would also not only have much better chemistry with Courtney Thorne Smith, but also much better chemistry with my eyeballs.
Oh, okay. Okay. Mike, what do you think?
Well, I'm first of all confused that Jim Carrey was supposed to star in this because it seems like a tailor-made movie for Carrot Top with all the inventions because he does all the props and inventions during his act.
Oh, those inventions would have been like funny faces for Jim Carrey.
Yeah, okay. But either way, absolutely it would have been better. Would it have been better for the world? Because like Liar Liar came out in 1997, so if we had to see this movie instead of Liar Liar, no, the world would not have been better. So yeah, 500 times percent it's better to be selfish and say Jim Carrey should have been in this movie.
Okay. I'm going to go the other way. I'm going to say no. Ooh. It would not have been better. And I think you gave the perfect reason, Mike, because if Jim Carrey would have been in this movie, what if it would have like tanked his career and then you wouldn't have gotten all those Jim Carrey movies that you love?
We would have got Carrot Top movies. Ooh, Eternal Sunshine, he would have been Clementine. He would have been Clementine.
Okay, that question's coming up here in a bit. What do you have to say, Paul?
Yeah, I think it would. You know, I mean, obviously he is a more experienced actor, I believe, than Carrot Top. But I think that the only way that this would work with Jim Carrey in it is if he was reprising his character from The Mask. I think that'd be pretty good.
Question number three. What was your favorite part of the movie and least favorite part of the movie, Mike?
My least favorite part of the movie is when Carrot Top and what's her name again? The woman?
Natalie.
When they almost smooch in the museum and there's electricity and it zaps and they sit back and they look at each other. They're all startled. This is the moment when Carrot Top gets a good idea.
Ah! Are you all right?
Hold on, Natalie. This could be it.
But I'm very upset that they didn't body swap at that moment, because that would have made the movie so much goddamn better. And it felt in my soul like a body swap moment. And I am so upset that it like blue-balled me a body swap.
I got it! Woo-hoo! I got it!
You are my lucky charm. I gotta get back to the lab.
Just hard turn in Act 3. Where
it's so good!
You know, I mean, honestly, Friday, a body swapping film with Carrot Top, not the worst idea I've ever heard.
Not bad at all.
What about your favorite?
My favorite part was a real throwaway joke, which a lot of the best parts were the throwaway parts, I think. But Larry Miller opens up Carrot Top's desk drawer, and it just green light shines out of it, and Larry's just like, oh! And then like slams it shut. It's just, yeah. Larry Miller has so many good fucking things in this.
He's pretty great.
Every little moment.
Okay, Chris, favorite and least favorite.
Well, unlike Mike, I'm going to give a serious answer now. So my least favorite, because I'm going to start with the least favorite part of the movie. My least favorite part of the movie was the movie. And my favorite part of the movie was everything that isn't the movie.
Okay, well, I mean, I guess I should expect that. I did pick this movie knowing what would probably happen, so that's fair. Paul?
Favorite part of the movie was definitely TV dinners. I think there's something there. Especially if that came out today with the, you know, flat screen technology. I think Carrot Top may have actually had something there. Least favorite part of the movie was everything else.
Oh, Paul. Barf.
Paul.
What about you, Jay?
Okay, I will give a serious answer. My least favorite part of the movie is the museum scene. I just feel like all of the attempts at comedy slow down there, and it's that, there's not a lot of chemistry there.
Probably because of Butterbean.
Butterbean?
Yeah, he was the security guard.
Was that Butterbean?
That was Butterbean, yeah. At least
with the chia hair?
Yeah, yeah. At least,
I honestly did not realize
IMDb says.
I didn't realize that. Okay. Well, sorry, Butterbean. My favorite part of the movie is the first 1.5 minutes when Carrot Top flies out of his mother's vagina. I've never seen that before. So that was my favorite part right off the bat. And you can understand that being my favorite part, why I saw this movie. And about at that point, I was like, I'm picking this. Like, we're going to watch this for the podcast. Like, this has to happen.
Jay, you have 4 children. You've never seen that?
Come on. Okay, we're going to get into more details of that later, too. Okay, just a minute. Hold that thought.
Okay.
So what was your favorite character / least favorite character, Chris?
Larry Miller was my favorite character.
Good one. What about least favorite?
Oh, I need to say that my least favorite?
I mean, okay. You don't have to.
You need me to narrow it down?
It's okay. Carrot Top is not my least favorite character in this movie. but I understand your words. Again, I hold no ill will for your hatred here. Mike, what about you?
Well, as I hinted at and Chris already said, mine's also Larry Miller's character, whatever he's fucking called. He's just so good. At one moment, he's crushing up a cell phone. He's yelling like, and then it's so nonchalant. He just goes, call you later.
Partner, it's inconceivable that anything could possibly go wrong.
And then it's such a good bit where he chugs a bottle of dry Tums, or when he walks in on that guy vomiting into his like vomit bag, he walks into this room and takes this big old whiff and it's so fucking funny. Or when he drinks the sweat, and he's drinking the sweat and he's fine for a second and just makes the greatest face. He is the best character by far in this movie.
I will agree. I will agree. And your least favorite?
My least favorite is probably, because they probably have a half a brain cell between the two of them. So I'm going to lump in the roommates together so they count as one human. Yeah.
Yes, I'm going to echo that and say my least favorite character was Zach, the guy who just sounded real dumb. Here's a clip.
She sure knows a lot of adjectives.
That guy. My favorite, yes, Larry Miller. And close runner-up is Estelle Harris as Miss Krubovich. I thought she was pretty good.
I'll have your skanky, dingleberry-ridden asses tossed out of here. You got that?
Question number five. We talked a little bit about my favorite part being Carrot Top baby version flying out of his mother's vagina. What is the airspeed velocity of baby Carrot Top flying out of his mother's vagina? Mike?
Well, I'm still working on these calculations here. Well, the world record for a baby coming out of a mother's vagina is 27 seconds. But that didn't knock a doctor over, so I think we have to up it up a little bit. A sparrow can fly 20.1 miles per hour, 9 meters a second. So I think it's probably about what a sparrow is. It's a baby. It's pretty small, right? So I'm going to say 9 meters a second.
9 meters a second. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Chris, what are your calculations?
Let me check my notebook here real quick. I've got very detailed calculations. I don't think they're quite as exact as Mike's, but, here we go. I came up with the answer of, I don't care.
Okay.
No, don't care.
Okay. Paul.
69 kilometers per hour.
Ew. Oh my God, Paul. Gross.
God damn it, Paul.
All right. Well, those are great answers. Great answers. But I want you guys to know that I actually have the right answer.
Ooh, okay.
Nice.
Okay. Airspeed velocity of baby Carrot Top flying out of his mother's vagina. I don't know this. I don't know physics. Fortunately, we know someone who does know physics.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
I won't call him a professor. We'll call him more of an enthusiast. But I reached out to physics enthusiast Will Quinton, who, from what I understand, took intro to physics in college.
Oh,
about 20 years ago.
Nice.
So I reached out to him to get his take on this opening scene. And I'm going to play for you right now what the correct answer is. How fast that baby was coming out.
All right. Perfect.
So in order for Carrot Top's head to make it through the seemingly dry wall of the hospital room, roughly 12 feet located away from the vagina, of course, the initial velocity will have to be quite high, because as we all know, the force decreases over the square of the distance, and at roughly 12 feet, 10 to 12 feet distance, initially right off the bat to penetrate drywall, just a regular half-inch drywall, you're going to need about 34,000 newtons of force over 12 feet. We're going to say over the square of the distance, that's going to give us four times, so it's going to be roughly, let's say, 145,000 newtons initial force, And if we can translate that into velocity, then we're going to have to say Carrot Top, the baby Carrot Top, of course, is going to have to be initially traveling at a rate of, let's say, 100 or so meters per second. With the drag coefficient from his ridiculous hair, let's put a little squish on top of that. We'll call that 150 meters per second. And the force required to expel a frizzy-haired baby from a red-haired vagina at 150 meters per second is going to be roughly that of a 500-pound bomb going off inside the vagina. So I'm going to guess that the realistic situation portrayed in this movie is actually not very realistic, because a 500-pound bomb exploding inside a woman's womb, I'm going to guess, on a standard woman, of course, is going to blow them apart into a bloody mess. Thank you for listening. Have a good day.
I was 10 times too slow about.
That's about 493 feet per second is how fast Carrot Top was flying out of there. Whew. So I want to thank physics enthusiast Will Quentin. Your time in college in Intro to Physics was not wasted.
Thank you, Will.
Question number 6. How exhausting do you think Edison's life is? His morning routine must take hours and hours. So, Chris, this was your question. So, if you don't mind, I'm going to go first.
Yeah.
I think when he's done with his morning routine, he drinks a large mocha frappuccino and takes a nap. So he wakes up caffeinated for the afternoon. So, yeah, I think it takes a long time. Mike?
Oh, I mean, it would take me a long time. I like sexy hands, too, and those tire me out, so...
What about you, Paul?
I mean, I was exhausted watching this movie. Carrot Top had a lot of energy in the 90s. I guess maybe that was kind of his thing or whatever, but I just wanted it to stop.
What, Paul?
What?
I can't believe you just said that, Paul.
And Chris?
You know, I was just thinking that there's no reason to think this is an abnormal morning in Carrot Top's life. So, I mean, I'm sure he takes a nap afterwards, but do you really call going back to bed, falling asleep on the couch, a nap when it's nighttime and time for bed? Because his morning routine takes like 8 hours.
Yeah, he does have that whole weird shower cap thing, and he's like playing games in the shower.
Yeah, and he comes out.
It's like Pee-wee's Playhouse, right? Like, in the, it's sort of... Reminds you of Pee-wee's Playhouse.
Little more raunchy, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yep. Okay, fair. Question 7. How many times did you actually laugh during Chairman of the Board? Chris?
Zero.
0 times?
Well, I mean, I kind of chuckled a few times for Larry Miller, but does that count?
Okay. Yeah, I mean...
Okay. I chuckled 3 times.
Okay, all right, fair. But no guffaws.
No guffaws.
Okay. Mike, what about you?
Several times.
Yeah?
I mean, again, wow. I was very high, so.
Well, that's fine.
Fair. But that's fine. A lot of times. For reasons that were unintended most. I mean, you know, like, why is this a joke makes me laugh a lot. You know, why is this even a gag in this movie? And that becomes very funny until I giggle till... You know, maybe I roll off the couch and bonk my head and fall asleep for the rest of the movie.
Okay. I laughed 2-3 times.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Once every half hour, roughly.
Paul?
I would say probably 3 or 4 times. You know, there was a handful of things that happened that got me. There was some attention to detail in certain spots and just weird little... Probably like improvised moments that I thought were pretty funny, but 1 hour and 35 minutes, 3 or 4 laughs is not great.
Ooh. Oh, that's a hot take.
That's fine.
Wowzers.
I'm sure Paul's been funny. Question 8. Would you rather wear a shirt made of pubic hair or a shirt made from Carrot Top's hair pulled fresh from the vine? Chris?
Oh, I'm wearing my Carrot Top pubic hair shirt right now. I'm going both, baby.
Oh, it's so
dark. It's a very bright red. Check it out.
Oh, Mike.
Carrot Top's hair, not pubes. I can't, after what he said, I can't say anything.
I'm going Carrot Top's hair for sure. Yeah. Carrot Top's hair.
This is the one answer I want to hear from Paul.
All right. Paul, what do you have to say?
The problem with this question, Jay, is that you have not specified whose pubic hair we're talking about. I mean, if we're talking about Carrot Top's regular hair, I feel like it should be another celebrity's pubic hair. So it really depends on what the deal would be with that. If it's somebody who, you know, has been in like a shampoo commercial or something like that, you know, maybe down there is nice and it wouldn't be so bad. Like Heidi Klum, I would probably wear a shirt made of her pubic hair. But I mean, that's the thing. It's got to be someone like that where it would be nice, you know? Otherwise, I got to go with Carrot Top. So you got to elaborate on that a little bit, but you're not going to because the episode's already recorded. So yeah. I'll go with Heidi Klum.
I'm sure it was a very funny answer. Okay. Question 9. Would chairman of the board be better if it were about the long protracted legal battle Armand's will would set off in real life instead of the by the numbers quote comedy we got? Paul, what do you think?
Yes.
You know, that's funny, but it's fair.
This is going well. Mike.
I say, you know, regardless of what Paul just said, I say not as is, not if it was a courtroom drama that was supposed to be funny, but if it was a gritty, ironic reboot, then fuck yeah, I'd watch the shit out of it.
Oh, so sort of the Bel Air to the Fresh Prince of Bel Air.
Yeah.
Okay. Chris.
I'm going to say yes, because the gritty courtroom drama is just the type of project that would attract Jim Carrey in his dramatic turn.
Got it.
What if it was like A Few Good Carrot Tops? You want the carrot, you can't handle the top.
Oh, okay. I'm going to say yes now just because of that. Just because of A Few Good Carrot Tops.
I'm pretty sure we'd get Jack Nicholson as Armand.
Yes. Okay. How would you end your overly produced last will and testament video, Chris?
By making everyone watch Chairman of the Board.
Nice. Paul?
Okay, what I would do is I would film my last will and testament inside of an airplane, like a big jumbo, like a military craft. And after I announced everything, all my movie collection and my Manos painting and I don't know, my clip lights that I use in my tonight's double feature videos and stuff like that, my new releases sign from Family Video, I would jump out of the airplane with a GoPro attached to me over Manhattan, and I would impale myself onto the spike of the Chrysler Building. And someone would have to hit stop on the GoPro, obviously, but then you could watch the video of it.
Thank you.
I can't believe he would do that.
Mike.
Mine would start. I know that wasn't part of the question, but mine would start. And for the most of it, just be normal, sitting in a chair, look like anything anyone's ever seen. And then with the most amazing budget, I would have suddenly and very dramatically be drugged down to hell. Like nothing in the beginning of it makes you think there's anything weird going on. And then suddenly I just go down to hell.
Like, could you get like Freddy Krueger's glove to pull you down? Like Jason goes to hell.
Like the chair breaks through the floor or something. And I'm screaming and fire's coming up. Like amazing.
Wow, man, I should have went before you because my answer is not nearly that good.
Mike's a what tough one Jay? To follow.
I would do exactly what I really want to have happen. I would show them taking my ashes, compressing them into a diamond, putting it into an urn, and then shooting it into space. That's mm-hmm. That would be the dramatic end.
Mm-hmm. Like shooting it actually through space that. Through by some sort of like Carrot Top fart gun that launches things to orbit.
Sure. Maybe I pass a planet in my urn and the planet rotates and it's Carrot Top's face.
And then his face morphs into Satan. And it turns out you're actually in hell.
And then it turns out
we all end up in the same place.
Then it turns out we were all just doing LSD all along.
Or this is something I thought of a long time ago. I would get myself cremated, right? And then I would have someone, you know, like the whoever was reading my will, I would have them mix my ashes in with just an enormous amount of cocaine. And then I would make all of my friends get on a plane and snort it until the plane crashes into the side of a mountain. I'm taking all of you with me.
That makes my standby answer of releasing fire ants from the ceiling a much more palatable idea.
Paul, do you have any other answers to that?
He's answering twice. It's great.
But I don't know if he is because I didn't ask him to say two answers to the question.
Just replay his first one again.
There you go.
Impale myself onto the spike of the Chrysler building.
Okay. All right. How many, this is question, what is this? Question 11. How many Snapples would you buy with a dead man's money?
Yeah.
Was that from the movie? I don't remember that.
Yeah. When Carrot Top is awarded $23 million, he goes, that's a lot of Snapples. Or I could buy a lot of Snapples with that or something.
$23 million?
$23 million? Ah, that's a lot of Snapples. Woohoo! And that stuck with me. And I know I was supposed to be coming up with questions. So I thought, I wonder how many I would buy.
Okay. So how many Snapples is that, Mike?
Well, here, for the money, the amount of Snapples I would buy with a dead man's money would be, since Snapple's shelf life is 18 to 24 months, I would probably maybe want to drink one a week for at least those 24 months. So I'd buy about 100 weeks. So I'd buy 100 bottles and then use the rest on, I don't know, whatever else I wanted.
There's so much math in this episode, way more than I thought there was going
to
be.
This is the intellectual episode to counteract the anti-intellectualism of Chairman of the Board.
Chairman of the Board, the intellectual episode here on B-Movie. Paul, how many Snapples would you buy?
I'm not really much of a Snapple guy. If I had the option, I would just save the money. Is that okay? Is that legal? I get confused between legal and illegal. So,
wow, lower than I thought.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I thought it was going to be, I don't know. Chris, how many Snapples?
All of them.
All the Snapples. All the Snapples. You probably could. You could buy the Snapple factory.
All
probably.
The Snapples.
Yeah. I'd buy four, one for each one of us.
Aww.
One measly fucking Snapple.
One Snapple. That's all you get. Now, you know what? I'm going to drink half of yours.
Oh, God damn it.
Just for that. Just for that attitude, mister.
Wow.
Fuck.
All right. Question 12. When Carrot Top shows up to his new job on day one, there's a fart in the elevator. He makes a big deal about somebody farting in the elevator. Did Carrot Top actually fart, or wasn't it an invention that he just never mentioned? Mike.
Oh, well, he farts and he does wag his butt when he does it, right? And he looks at the woman dead in her fucking eyes. It's like, ew. But so you're kind of led to think he did. But I kind of also then think it actually may have been his special invention, the fanny pack, which is the anatomical fanny pack you put on your butt. It zips vertically. And whenever they'd open it, it would make a fart noise. And so I think maybe he wagged it around and looked at her when he wagged his butt at her. And it just makes that noise.
Yep.
So I think he was the farter, but it was not a real fart.
Okay. Chris, what's your theory?
That is interesting new evidence that, originally I thought it couldn't have been an invention because he would have tried to sell it to everyone in the elevator. So it had to be, had to be a real fart. But now with Mike's evidence, I think I agree with Mike. It's probably his fanny pack.
The courtroom drama does persist. Yeah.
I also thought it was an invention, but I had forgotten about the fanny pack. So not only does it seem like an invention and something Carrot Top would do, there is precedent for this fart in the elevator.
I'm telling you guys, this movie has layers.
It's Coen Brothers.
Layers and layers.
Yes. Paul, do you agree with us? What do you think? Was it a real fart or an invention?
Well, the other people in the elevator really did not look too happy, so I'm going to assume that that was an actual fart, and that's just rude, Carrot Top. There's just no need for that.
He wasn't even listening.
Yeah, it... Okay, I doubt that it was explored any further than that in any cutscene or anything, but... question 13. How many times did you pray that Ed 209 from RoboCop was one of the inventions shown off during a boardroom scene? Well, when I was watching the movie, zero, but now that you've put that thought into my mind, at least one now.
Mm-hmm. Same answer from me.
That's all I could think about. Every time they showed the boardroom, I'm like... Ed 209's coming out. Come on. You know he is.
Well, hold on. But okay, I'm going to ask you to do something here, Chris. Paul, what do you think? How many times did you wish Ed 209 came out during the movie?
Okay, I don't know what that means. I don't know what a ED 209 is. This movie was not easy to stay focused on. So if I miss something... Again, I was looking at porn while watching the movie, so maybe it was for the ED 209 scene, whatever that is.
Still reacting like we know what Paul's saying.
Freeze, perp.
Yeah, okay, Chris, I was wondering, could you do us all a favor? And can you pitch Ed 209 to the boardroom like Carrot Top was?
Oh my god, I can't, this is going to be awful, I don't know. I don't even.
The worse it is, the better.
I just watched the movie once, so I don't even. I couldn't
even. You know
even...
how Carrot Top does things, though.
Well, see, Ed 209, it's like a robot that kills people, but only if they commit crimes. And they're not even have to be real crimes. They just commit crimes. And he just thinks they have crimes. And then he shoots them. And. Locks them and takes them back to jail. And then there are bees and guns and old people falling off buildings and penises are being shot. Bees? And it's just a madman's idea of a robo cop, a robotic cop. It's Ed 209. He's great.
That's pretty good.
All right.
Wow. Wow.
Well done. Well done. Question 14. Should Courtney Thorne Smith have had a bigger career after chairman of the board? Don't you think she deserves one for kissing Karen Tom? Mike?
Yeah, of course. Of course she deserves better. Yes.
Whatever the size of career she has, she deserves more. And she's actually also a novelist. So she does have that to fall back on after kissing Karen Tom. She wrote the book Outside In, which you can find on Amazon.
And she's been in a lot of things. I think she was in 2.5 Men and some other bunch of stuff. So it's not like her career has been tiny. But she deserves more than that.
Paul, I'm assuming you agree.
No, she doesn't. Because I assume she read the script. And if she read all the way through, prior to accepting the job, she would have seen that she had to kiss Carrot Top. And she took the job. So, no, this is all on her. And she gets what she deserves, which is nothing.
Right, okay, mm-hmm. Yes, of course. Yeah. Okay, guys.
I really hope Paul said yes.
Question 15. What does this company actually make?
Note stickies and the Thigh Dominator.
The Thigh Dominator.
I missed
Chris.
The Thigh Dominator.
I just saw
a bunch of glue. I didn't hear about no Thigh Dominator. Shit. Does it stick to your thighs?
I hope so.
Glue?
Yeah, Larry Miller tells him, he's like, we make sticky notes in the Thigh Dominator.
Oh. It probably looks like Carrot Top's head when you look down on it.
Yeah, probably. you think that's what Carrot Top uses on leg day?
Yep.
It's what he uses on the boss's daughter's leg day.
Oh, God.
Remember that scene where Carrot Top fucks the daughter of the guy?
Yes! Oh, no. Wait, did I throw to Paul on this question yet?
Paul?
I think they make, those late night infomercials that used to air in the 90s and 2000s. I think they make a lot of the products for that, as seen on TV type stuff.
This is such a good bit. All right, question 16. Beavis and Butthead tacos. NYPD blueberry pie. Mashed potatoes. These are all the TV dinner flavors produced by Carrot Top's company. What TV show would get its own flavor today? Now, I have a list of these, so I'm going to let you guys go first. Chris, what do you got?
Well, I've got a few here. I would enjoy Wild Game of Thrones.
Ooh,
pretty good. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Better Call Saul's Pizza and Gyro.
I had Better Call Salted Pretzels.
Oh, nice. That's a good
very
one.
Very nice. I have Breaking one... Bread.
Oh, nice. Breaking Bread. Nice.
Well, the one I'm really looking forward to enjoying is The Marvelous Mrs. Mayonnaisel.
Oh, God.
Just a tray full of mayonnaise. It's great.
A tray full of mayonnaise.
That's all it is.
Very nice. Let's let Paul go next.
Well, Grey's Anatomy is still on the air as of the time of this recording, and it has been for a very long time. So I feel that Grey's Anatomy has earned the right to have their own TV dinner, and I think it would be called Grey's Anatomy Miso. Miso, a type of soup. Grey's Anatomy Miso soup.
Yeah.
Ha ha. Those sound delicious.
Sounds wonderful. Sign me up.
I would eat every one of
yum,
them.
Yum, yum, yum.
Mike, what? Give us some TV show, TV dinner flavors.
Oh, chicken wings.
Oh, nice. Wings. From Wings, okay. Yeah.
You know, Wings. Yeah.
Wings, okay, right. Okay,
the show Wings.
Which got it, I don't got think, it. But...
Everyone's favorite airport comedy, Wings.
from the 90s?
Yeah, you know.
I'm pretty sure my sister-in-law is obsessed with Wings. Like, I think she's seen the entire series after it was over.
Community, which would be a specialty marketed specifically to hippies.
Mm-hmm. Nice, okay.
That's all I got.
That's all you got? Okay. I have a few here. I have How I Met Your Mutton. Allie McVeal.
Oh, that's a good one.
The Righteous Gem Scones.
Ooh, yeah.
Oh, nice.
It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia Cheesesteak.
Oh, I had that one, actually.
Did you?
Yeah, yeah.
That's probably an easy one. And Daredeviled Eggs. Okay, Mike, I think this next question is yours. Question 17. Which of Carrot Top's inventions would be most useful to Lance Stargrove and how? Can I go first on this one?
Yes.
Stargrove.
The bull shirt.
Stargrove.
Oh, the bull shirt would be very good.
The bull shirt. Like, Lance needs to know when somebody's lying. He would get somebody to put this shirt on that farts whenever they lie.
Mm-hmm. That bull shirt of yours is worth millions. I'd be happy to help you put Bradford away for a piece of the action.
It was Kosick's idea all along. I'm just the patsy.
Oh, I don't think so.
Yeah, that would be
Chris,
good.
What do you think?
Killer bees.
Killer bees! Bees!
When could he not use a jar full of killer bees?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
All right, Paul, did you have killer bees or something else?
I would say glasses. Apparently, Lance Stargrove has not discovered the invention of glasses yet, even though they were invented a long time ago. But if Carrot Top gave him a pair of glasses from his company, it would help him see that that Gene Simmons is Ragnar, because apparently he didn't figure out that. What's his name? The guy with the orange hair. You know what I mean. I'm Ragnar.
It's fair. It's a fair answer.
Yeah, that's a very balanced answer.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. Mike, this was your question. What do you got?
My answer, I think, is obvious, is the fanny pack. Because he's got an extra place to store stuff. And then he can also, you know, distract Velvet Von Ragnar with his little tush sticking out there.
Oh, Velvet Von Ragnar would be real into that.
Oh,
he'd
yeah.
He'd probably be into a lot of these inventions, mm-hmm. honestly. Like the one that allows men to milk or to breastfeed babies.
Mm-hmm. Yep, yep.
Learn that. Maybe he'd love to know the joy of motherhood.
Question 18. Mm-hmm. We only have three questions left. 18. What role would you like to see Carrot Top in now? Paul, go ahead and go first.
I think that he should get his own Star Trek There's so many Star Treks now that mine as well, you know. What's her name is on Star Trek Discovery, Tig Notaro. Comedic relief, so you might as well put him on one of the dog shit Star Trek shows going on right now, and, you know, hopefully that would finally get people to turn it off so that we can stop wrecking Star Trek.
I hadn't thought of that.
That is a very interesting take. Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah.
Potentially an Oscar-winning role.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know why he wouldn't
Chris,
do that.
Chris, what do you think?
Terminator. Carrot Top won't stop. He never gives up.
Wow.
They don't call him Carrot Top.
Is a Terminator. That would be.
Well, because he's huge now. He's like, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger. Well, now apparently he's not huge anymore, but.
He could get there.
He could get there again. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, Mike.
I just want to see him as a local weatherman.
Okay.
Just on the TV doing his bit. It'd be pretty fun.
So Groundhog's Day.
Okay, I'm actually going to give a serious answer here. I would like to see what, like, the people who make Fargo could do with a guy like Carrot. Like, strip him of the bit.
Yeah.
Just the guy. Try to use him in, like, Fargo or The Righteous Gemstones or something that's just, like, a little different than what he...
I mean...
Like, Peacemaker, make him, like, a funny villain in Peacemaker.
Well, I believe that's what Danny McBride did with one of the boardroom members, made him Grandpa Gemstone.
Right. That's
so
true.
Just a short hop to Carrot Top.
I mean, you could really get an Uncut Gems type thing. He could change his name to Carrot, but with a K.
Ooh. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm a fan, like you were saying earlier, Chris, about Jim Carrey doing the dramatic thing. I'm a fan of when comedians try to step out of their comfort zone and do like drama and stuff. Yeah. So I would be down to see, I would be interested to see Carrot Top starring in something dramatic or as a part in something dramatic.
Punch Drunk Love too.
Right. Okay. So this next question is just for Chris. Paul, I'm sorry. Mike, I'm sorry.
I don't even
this
have an
answer.
This
just for Chris. And feel free to unload here because I know you're a big Ramones fan.
Oh yeah.
And always have been since you flew out of. So, Chris, how do you feel about the Ramones being used in this film?
During the end credits, I just wanted to be sedated. But they buried me in a pet cemetery, and I came back and had to finish the goddamn movie. On the one hand, I hope they got paid for it, because they really needed the money. But on the other hand... Fun fact, though, that was not the original recording of California Sun that they did. At least that's on their albums. That was a different recording of it. I don't know if they took a live version of it or something or an alternate cut, but it's not the version that's on their album.
Oh, it's the Carrot Cut, baby.
Yeah, it's the Carrot Cut.
Carrot Cut.
Do I need to say anything here? I saw the Ramones, all of them. At the Virgin Megastore in New York City, I think right before Joey died, they were doing a signing, and I wasn't even there for them. I think I was there to pick up some Cardigans import CDs from the UK. But they were there, and it was cool to see them. So,
okay, final question. Okay, I need to make sure I can read this correctly. This is not my question. This was a submitted question. Do you think Paul would jerk me, Mike, off and meet me, Mike, at the moon? So I think the question is, Paul, would you jerk off Mike and meet him at the moon? To which my only response is he hasn't already.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised.
I know Paul is saying all this stuff right now, but I can definitively say that Paul would not jerk me off. I have asked multiple times.
Aww.
And I've been very polite. And he keeps saying no. But I think he would meet me at the moon. In fact, we have been met at the moon many times.
There's just no...
There's no Yankee Panky. He's not, you know, he's not planting his flag on this moon.
Mm. Right. Okay.
As much as I've asked.
I'm not answering that question. Good night, everybody.
Well... That brings us to rating time.
Rating time.
Guys, I appreciate you all being good sports and watching Chairman of the Board. I know it may not have been a blast for some of you, but you know what? Sometimes we have to do these things. So what I want to know is, was Norm MacDonald's well-shared opinion of this film correct? I want to rate this 1 to 100 scum-sucking, salt-water-clogged, lard-ass, deadbeat, slackaholic freeloaders.
Scum-sucking, salt-water-clogged, lard-ass, deadbeat, slackaholic freeloaders can't afford this place. You can't even afford clothes. Nice duck.
Michael, what do you give Chairman of the Board?
Well, I'm going to say this. I think Norm MacDonald was only half correct in his statements. He said it was box office poison, and that is absolutely correct. You cannot argue with that. But he then posited that the film should be spelled B-O-R-E-D, implying that it would be a boring film. And as absolute garbage and horseshit as this movie is, there's too much going on for it to be technically boring. Is it enjoyable? Absolutely not. But I don't think it's boring. It's just bad. I did enjoying it. I did enjoy watching it to some extent being high in the in this exercise. Would I do this on my own? Absolutely not. I have no interest in it. It was fun to watch it, and I knew, because I knew I got to talk about it with all y'all here, even you, little Polly. And so I give it a 50. Okay. All those words.
I think that's very fair. That's a very fair assessment of the
Thank
film.
You.
Chris, what do you have?
You know, I didn't even think about this. I forgot we rated it because I was so not into this movie. I did no research. I didn't do a second viewing. I'm just like, we're just answering some questions. Different format. So you asked me to pick a number now. I'll say 45 and all followed by all those words you just said. Ask me tomorrow.
45.
Yeah, ask me tomorrow. Maybe it's a 47. Maybe it's a 32. I don't know. Depends on my mood. Let's go with 45 for now.
Yeah. I'm going to be honest. That's a lot better than I thought you guys were going to say. Let's see what Paul says. Maybe Paul's going to beat this thing up.
I forgot to do my rating. I assume you're asking me for a rating. If not, cut this out. I don't know what the rating system is because I'm not on the episode, obviously, so I'll just make up my own, and hopefully that works for you. You know, there was some, like, a small amount of sort of mid-90s fun sort of vibes in this thing, some fun nostalgia. It was set in L.A., so that's always fun for me, you know, to kind of see what a certain area of L.A. was like in the 90s. So, you know, would I watch this again? Absolutely not. Did I absolutely hate it? No. I mean, I'm going to go, I'll go 32 Estelle Harris voice boxes. And rest in peace, Estelle Harris, who was alive when you guys were recording this episode, but she has sadly since passed on when I'm recording this. And Jay, I don't appreciate the fact that Estelle Harris died, and then the very next day I had to watch her in Chairman of the Board. It's not, you know, it's not good for her legacy, and I resent you for making me watch this film. Thank you.
Ah, jeez, Paul.
Okay, wow. Well, yeah, I mean, wow. Again, we don't really know.
I would have expected a lot higher, honestly, from Paul, to be honest.
Yeah.
Knowing him and his history with redheads.
It's not great. It's not, I mean, I don't think anybody's under the assumption that this is a great movie or that it's very, like Chris, you said, it's very by the numbers. It's just not that good. I'm not going to go into it. I'm just going to say 47. We've seen far worse.
Yeah.
Seen far more painful things. It's at least professionally produced. You can watch it.
Yeah.
It's a thing you can sit there and put in your eyes.
Yeah. I didn't hate this movie. I also didn't particularly like it.
No. It's got an anomaly factor to it in the sense of, like, this is the Carrot Top movie from the 90s that I have heard jokes about. I should watch it.
I remember when this came out and seeing commercials for it, and I'm just like, eh, no thanks.
I can't see you really being in the demographic for the Carrot Top.
Man, I used to be really into stand-up in high school, and Carrot Top even then was never one of my favorites. Larry Miller was one of my favorites. Carrot Top, not one of my favorites.
I did see a lot of interviews with Carrot Top, and he does seem like actually a very cool and down-to-earth person. Kind of wish that, you know, things would have went a little different in this. Maybe this movie would have been good. Who knows what would happen? But he seems like he's doing very well.
Yeah, I don't think he's complaining about the failure of chairman of the board.
No, no. I think I had read that even when it was coming out, he had a hard time mustering enthusiasm for it to promote it.
That's what Courtney Thorne Smith has said about it since, too. And
Yeah. They all knew. Yeah. Did you guys hear how this thing was actually made?
No.
Like, how it got made. Like, the producers or the writers, they saw a billboard that said chairman of the, and then it had a surfboard.
Oh, God.
It's based off a fucking California.
they thought, oh, that's a billboard for a film. And then they discovered that it was a billboard for something else. They're like, well, we should make this movie. And so they, like, put the pitch together and everything and sold it. And
did they,
there you go.
Were they visiting LA for the first time? I guarantee that format of a billboard joke has been going on in California for like 50 years. Like,
whoa.
I don't
know. I'm like, chairman of the board, dude.
Okay. Well, again, thank you guys for going through this. I feel like we've went through this anomaly together. It's been a good Luau Wednesday. So I want to take the lays off, and I want to see what's coming up next from Chris on B-Movie Mania.
On the next episode of B-Movie Mania.
Well, what's coming up next is Kuala Lumpur's answer to Chairman of the Board.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Except not at all like that. At all.
Boo.
Nope. The exact opposite, really, because we're going stranger than fiction as the original Starbuck informs us alien activity has been reported in the area. It's time to get our hands a little dirty and uncover the strange high school shenanigans of space ninjas.
Whoa, okay.
Okay.
Tell us more.
What?
Well, it's made by a man named Scott McQuaid, who this is his one and only IMDb credit. Filmed in 2019.
Oh, no!
In Kuala Lumpur.
Wait, and Richard Hatch is in it?
No.
No, Dirk Benedict?
Dirk Benedict, yep.
You said you said Starbuck, and I'm like, oh, this is like a movie from like the 70s or something.
Yeah, did I? Dirk Benedict played Starbuck, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's an old Dirk Benedict. And he really kind of only bookends the movie. And... Okay. In full disclosure, I've only just kind of scrubbed through it a little bit and read a couple articles on it. So I don't know how good this is going to be or not. But
we're going in blind.
We're going in blind. But a couple things I saw, I'm like, oh, boy.
All right. Okay.
Fun. It's an experiment in fear.
So Space Ninjas can be found on Tubi.
Perfect.
Fantastic.
Yep.
Well, everybody, thank you for joining us on B-Movie Mania. We have a store, store.bmoviemania.com, where you can buy Space Ninjas, or can you buy that, Mike? Do we have any new shirts or pants?
We've had a few shirts. We've got the, well, Jimmy won the tournament shirt with
the
Chris's
font.
Fleshy font, yes. We also have a new Brain Damage, Aylmer Take the Wheel shirt. Colors. Yeah, that's very nice. And we might have one for this. I don't know. There's plenty of fucking weird shit, but check a lookout.
Yeah, if you can think of any shirt ideas for Chairman of the Board, tell us. We'll make it, and we'll send one to Carrot Top and see if he wears it.
Yeah.
What I loved about what you guys thought about the Chairman of the Board shirt is that it's actually made from red pubic hairs.
Ah, no, not again. Not doing Carrot Top there. No.
Well, he doesn't grow enough for us to make
Follow
him from actual Carrot
media.
Top.
Just do it on social media. Give us a review, please. please give us a review.
And, and send us your send us your red pubes, because we've got a, we've got a sweatshop that needs to make some shirts.
Listen up, maniacs. Do you have a question or a comment? Would you like to send some bourbon to Uncle Lloydie? You can contact the gang on Facebook at B-Movie Mania. You can also drop them a line at bmoviemania.com. Reach out, touch them. They're touching themselves, and they might just reach back. I'm Lloyd Kaufman saying, see you next time on B-Movie Mania. Woohoo!
Our shirts are made out of a cotton poly blend.
Cotton poly blend.
Cotton poly pubes.
No!